There is actually a chaplet of St. Teresa. It is a pretty simple chaplet. It begins with the leader saying, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, patroness of the missions. And everyone says, pray for us. And there are simply 24 glory beads. So the chaplet has 24 beads. And those glory beads are in honor of God for the 24 years that she lived. She lived only 24 years, died at the tender age of 24. And so we'll begin this conference with the praying of the chaplet of St. Therese. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, patroness of the missions. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a very appropriate prayer for this conference. This is on being prayerful. Last night, be still. This morning, we're going to reflect on the little way and be prayerful. Isn't this a wonderful morning? It's just like every other morning this week for you, isn't it? Not. Of course not. Yeah, it's very different, isn't it? This is the way it is every morning at the Pink Sisters. Or this is the way it is every morning in Agnew at the Carmelites. Very peaceful, very quiet. You can see why some people are called to the contemplative life, to be monastic. We probably aren't called. I don't feel called to the monastic life to be a Trappist monk or something. And just looking at you, you probably aren't either. But But here we are. I believe there's a little bit of pink sister or Carmelite nun in each one of us, that God is calling us to prayer and to contemplative life, at least a little bit. We'll speak more about quiet prayer and contemplative prayer in a subsequent conference, because that too is part of the Little Way. But today we're just going to talk, this morning we're going to just talk about prayer itself and how important prayer is. And maybe this silence is awkward for some of us. Maybe it is. I think it's quite refreshing, actually. It's very different. Maybe if it's awkward for us, or it's maybe, or if we're uneasy, it's probably because we don't have it enough. We live in an extremely noisy society. Everything is dinging and binging and clanging and crashing and ringing, and you can't even get into your car anymore without something binging and dinging or telling you your door is ajar or something. You know, it's everything is dinging at us. The toaster dings, the washer dings, the dryer dings, the everything binging and dinging. And then there's the radios on, or the iPods on, or we have all these gadgets that we look at all the time. And then we feel a buzz, or I've heard some of the strangest rings on people's phones. It's amazing. You can have about 100 or 500 different types of rings. You can have a ring for each person in your family. You know, it's very noisy. And so what happens is we've lost a lot of the art of prayer and the importance of prayer, because there's so much distraction in the world today. And that's why the contemplatives are still assigned to us in this day and age. Not that we need to be a contemplative nun or monk, but that there needs to be time for prayer. And this silence on this retreat is a reminder to us, a wake-up call, that it's sometimes good to have quiet and silence. We don't always have to have something on. It's to the point where some of us can't even sleep at night unless we have something running in the background, some white noise or something. You know, a fan or whatever it might be, because we're so used to noise. In the old days, people were used to quiet. And even though they were used to quiet, in the early, early century of the church, the first century, there were such individuals called like the Desert Fathers. They would run away from the villages to find quiet. I'm going, well, what was so noisy in their life? A clucking chicken, you know, maybe a snorting camel, maybe some children far away laughing. They didn't have noise. Compared to us, they had 1% of the noise we have today. But it was too noisy for them, and they went off in the desert to find quiet. Isn't that amazing? We've pretty much lost that sense of need for quiet. St. Teresa loved quiet. She would run away and find quiet. One of the places she would run away to, they didn't know it at first, but they discovered it later, but it was in her room. In her room, there was kind of like a cutout, like pretend there's a cutout notch right here, not this deep, maybe as far as this first brown wall, and her bed is tucked in there. And then there's kind of a curtain over it, so it's kind of pretty in her room. I've been in her bedroom about 5 times. And between the end of her bed and that wall, so the bed's against that side, her pillow would be over there, but there was a little bit of a niche, almost like between the organ and that wall. And so she would run there sometimes and just be there quietly to pray, to be alone with God. Her backyard, too, was very small, not a huge backyard, but large enough that she could find little places behind bushes or whatever to be alone and to pray. Therese loved to pray, and she found her little desert places right within her room and in her backyard. And so what we want to do is remember the importance of prayer. And with prayer comes intimacy with God. A question that's good to ask us, because we can't have intimacy with God unless we pray. First of all, do we think it's possible to have intimacy with God? Do we want a more intimate relationship with Him? If we do we believe it's possible to have intimacy with God? Jesus, on the night before He died, told His apostles, His closest friends, the following. He said, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you." Then He says, "Remain in me." The Greek word is menein. He uses it often. uses it often on the in that discourse in John's gospel before he dies, the night before he dies. Menein is the Greek word. Remain in me as I remain in you. And he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about that heaven here on earth where we're allowed to be one with the Lord. We have this intimacy with him already here on earth. Remain in me as I remain in you. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. The Pink Sisters wear rose-colored garments. This weekend is Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday in Lent. And the color that we may wear as celebrants, as priests, is rose-colored. The third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice, we wear rose. And the fourth Sunday of Lent, we wear rose. Joy. The Pink Sisters wear rose. Joy. A lot of people drive by that convent. They may not be Catholic. They say, hey, Harry, you know what's in there? A bunch of nuns. They got to be crazy. Well, if you stand on the street and watch people driving their cars, they look stressed and crazy. They look very burdened, anxious, a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of frowns, a lot of grimaces, a lot of clenched teeth. No, the Pink Sisters aren't like that at all. I'm their chaplain. I teach them Bible study. They're hilarious. They're full of joy. And their garments reflect it. And Christ said, remain in me so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. We won't find this joy, this spiritual gift that God wants us to have already here on earth unless we have intimacy with God. And we will not have intimacy with God unless we pray. So do we want it? And if so, how badly do we want it? In sports, coaches tell their kids or their athletes, come on, guys, you got to want it so badly you can taste it. Do we want intimacy so badly that we can taste it? And if we want it that badly, then we will find time for prayer. It's the only way to intimacy with God. We want to make every part of our life a prayer. Sometimes we departmentalize all of our lives. And this is my work. Okay, this is my exercise. This is my chores or whatever it is, duties or shopping and all that. But prayer should encompass everything we do. Inviting Jesus to be part of every part of our life, part of our family, our joys, our sorrows, our challenges, our crosses, our happy events. By making time, specific daily time to pray, we also, therefore, are making God a priority in our life, even though we have to make everything of our life a prayer. So whatever we're doing, we should be doing it with Jesus and for Jesus and to Jesus, that every part of our life should be a prayer. Still, it won't happen if we don't have specific times for prayer. In the seminary, they used to tell us, you can pray while you work, but you can't work while you pray. Meaning, you can pray while you work or play or do all sorts of things. It can be a prayerful sort of doing of your duties or your obligations or your fun activities. Invite Jesus into all those parts of your life. You can pray while you work and do things, but you can't work while you pray. Meaning, at some times of the day, there have to be some specific prayer times of the day, where we just put aside things and spend it with the Lord. You've been experiencing that already last night and this morning. It was very different this morning. You know, if you have children at home yet, no one was asking you, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. You know, if you don't have children at home or if you're living with someone else, then you don't hear the person, you know, making breakfast or whatever like that. It's kind of nice to go to school over and eat breakfast and leave, isn't it? You know, kind of easy, pretty easy. So what's happened is in the schedules, we've had some time for prayer. And we weren't working or doing things during that time of prayer. We weren't trying to multitask, you know. We were just quiet with the Lord. So we can work while we pray. We can pray while we work, but we can't work while we pray. There need to be specific moments each day where it's just for God. Just what we're experiencing this weekend, it will never be this much. and this quiet, perhaps, and this extensive. But this is a good weekend to remind us that this is good. This is good, and it's lacking in the majority, if not the vast majority, of people's lives in the Western world. Quiet time to pray. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, prayer is the life of the new heart. Prayer is the life of the new heart. Well, yeah, without prayer, we're dead. Prayer is the life of the new heart. It ought to animate us at every moment. However, we tend to forget him who is our life and our all. That is why the earliest church fathers insisted upon the necessity of prayer. For when we do forget God who is in our life and our all, prayer is that remembrance of God, often awakened by the memory of the heart. Saint Gregory of Nazianzus was moved to exclaim, "We must remember God in prayer more often than we draw breath." How many times did you breathe today? We must remember God in prayer more often than we draw breath. So do we think it's possible to have intimacy with God? And do we really want it? If we do, then we must make time daily to pray. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes creativity at times. I've known busy mothers who say, the only place I can find, like that's little St. Teresa's hiding spot, they'll say, the only place I can find time to pray is in the bathroom. Run and lock the door. In a busy world, it is problematic. We can be tempted to question, is it possible to find time to prayer? Or is it really that important to pray daily because I'm so busy? Is it really that important to have intimacy with God? Can't we get by without it? And really, we cannot. We are weak and fragile. We must pray because life is fragile. We are very weak and fragile, and we cannot journey on our own. We've all discovered how weak and fragile we are and how easily we can fall and stumble and be separated from God. We need prayer. Without prayer, we are certainly doomed. We must pray because life is short. We are here today and gone tomorrow, and there's only a brief time here on earth to develop an intimate relationship with God. And we must pray because life needs to end with prayer. Therese's last words, she sat up right before she died, right before she breathed her last, at like 7:35 p.m. on September 30th, 1897. And she said, "My God, I love you." Her final words. Truly the most eloquent of prayers. We must pray because life needs to end with prayer. When we die, we must breathe our last breath. And as Gregory Nazianzen said, we must remember God in prayer more often than we draw breath. So our last breath should be accompanied by our final prayer. When we breathe our last, it should be a breath of intimacy with God. Life is fragile, and we should end it with prayer. It's very vital that we foster intimacy with God. Now, some people might say, but I'm not a saint. Therese was a saint. Okay, she had her little way. You know, she loved to pray, and she did love to pray. But I'm nowhere near a saint. Well, you know, we have a lot of expectations of saints. We feel that saints are the ones who kind of had ecstasy, and they levitated, and they were in prayer for like hours and hours and hours every day, and they just weren't as distracted at all. And actually, that's not the case. The more you read about the saints, the more you understand they all struggled with prayer. And Therese was no different. Surprisingly, she often fell asleep in her prayers. And I mean often, not always, but pretty often. And she even wrote about it. And although she loved prayer, she easily grew distracted. She found group prayer very difficult and experienced tremendous spiritual dryness in her prayer. Her sister Celine, once said that she didn't think a soul ever received less consolation in prayer than her sister Therese. Celine said she didn't think a soul ever received less consolation in prayer than Therese. But she felt Therese received the least consolation of anyone else she knew. At last, a saint with whom we can identify. And she's a saint. And so if we experience difficulty or aridity, dryness in prayer, or we find it very difficult to not be distracted, we have great company. Her name is Saint Therese of Lisieux. Yet she loved prayer, and because of her little way, was convinced of the importance and the power of prayer. She wrote once, "The power of prayer is really tremendous. It makes one like a queen who can approach the king at any time and get whatever she asks for." That's her childlike confidence. "To be sure of an answer, there is no need to recite from a book a formula composed for the occasion. If there were, I should have to be pitied," because she didn't care to read a lot of composed prayers. Now, she was the first to understand. She loved John the Cross and loved his poetry and his prayers and all that. But because of her simplicity, she liked to talk from where? Her heart. A lot of us spend time in prayer, and a lot of times it's just bombarding our minds, our intellects, with a lot of stuff that we read. Study is important. We need to study our faith. We need to read books about our faith. There are a lot of great books right now. Matthew Kelly's books are going like crazy. You know, Rediscover Catholicism, Rediscover Jesus. You know, the Four Signs of an Authentic or Dynamic Catholic. All sorts of great books. Those are all books about our faith, which are great. And we need to read them. But I find very few people read books about just how to pray. And yet that's a fundamental Christian thing. Most of the books on the shelves today, St. Joseph didn't have a single one of those. Our Blessed Mother Mary didn't have a single one of those. St. Peter didn't have a single one of those. They were good Catholics. They were saints. My point being, sometimes we just have to simplify some of our prayer life and just pray from the heart. That's what Therese gets here. "To be sure of an answer, there is no need to recite." There's no need. It's good to recite prayers. She loved the rosary, composed prayer. "But there's no need to recite from a book a formula composed for the occasion. If there were, I should have to be pitied," because she didn't go that direction usually. "Though I'm quite unworthy, I love to say the divine office every day." What we just pray, like morning prayer. "But apart from that, I cannot bring myself to hunt through books for beautiful prayers. There are so many of them that I get a headache." Isn't that interesting? "I cannot bring myself to hunt through books for beautiful prayers. There are so many of them that I get a headache. Besides, each prayer seems lovelier than the next. I cannot possibly say them all, and I do not know which to choose. I behave like children who cannot read." That's a nice cop-out. "I tell God very simply what I want, and he always understands." See? "For me," she goes on, "prayer is an upward leap of the heart, an untroubled glance towards heaven, a cry of gratitude and love, which I utter from the depths of sorrow, as well as from the heights of joy. It has a supernatural grandeur which expands the soul and unites it with God." Then how shall we pray? With our hearts. The little way of Saint Therese exhorts us to keep it simple and pray with our hearts. There's a cute little poem, I guess you'd call it, about how to pray, and it's quoting different individuals who said, well, this is how you should pray, and this is how you should pray, and this is how you should pray. The bottom line is, the final one, the cute final one, you can tell he's praying from his heart. It's from his whole being. The proper way for man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms, with rapt and upturned eyes. No, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year, I fell in Hodgkin's Well head first, said Cyril Brown, with both my heels a-stickin' up, my head a-pointin' down. And I done prayed right there and then, best prayer I ever said, the prayin'est prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. The point being, he was desperate. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes we pray with our hearts best when things are not good, stuck in a well upside down. But the point is we need to pray with our heart, and not just when things are bad or critical or people pray the best when things are really not good. But we should pray like that at all times. We should desire this intimacy with God. Can we taste it? St. Augustine once said, it was your Lord who put an end to long-windedness so that you would not pray as you wanted to teach God by your many words. Piety, not verbosity, is in order when you pray. Part of the little way is be prayerful. And to be prayerful doesn't mean necessarily that we'll have a lot of time to pray in our busy lives, but it does mean to find time. We can pray while we work, but we cannot work while we pray, those times of intimacy with God. It is so good to find a little bit of a retreat experience each and every day, or as often during the week as we can, to find time with intimacy with God. Those don't have to be filled with a lot of words, but they need to be filled with heartfelt prayer and love within.